Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Everyone, and welcome to the ribbon cutting ceremony for the IHMC Healthspan Resilience and Performance Research Complex. We've got a hallelujah out there.
Hallelujah. Yes, the building they've been working on for quite some time, the second big building for IHMC. They acquired a home and now they got a second home. If you've driven down in that vicinity, you've seen the second building. It's been in work in progress for quite some time. And finally did the ribbon cutting yesterday on the Healthspan Resilience and Performance Research Center. So it's going to work on everything related to the body and human aging and performance enhancement and all of, and just everything in this regard. Ken Ford, of course, the main person at IHMC, the founder and spokesperson and president, CEO, big brain. I don't know what you want to call him. Dr. Ford's fantastic. Anyway, gives a little bit of history on IHMC, the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, right here in Pensacola, in case you don't know.
So founded in 1990, IHMC relocated to historic downtown in 1999. And as Pam said, our original research thrust was AI and cognitive science. And this continues to be one of the primary legs of our three-legged research stool. And it remains a critical area of work for us.
AI and cognitive research, one.
In 2004, we added robotics and exoskeletons to our research portfolio. See, even the Blue Angels are happy. And this area, robotics and exoskeletons, comprised our second leg of the stool. A good stool should have three legs. Today, we'll celebrate the third leg.
All right. So we all know about the Atlas robot and all the things that have been done since then. And the work on robotics and exoskeleton work that they've been doing is, I mean, amazing.
And this brings us today, where 34 years ago, when IHMC started, we had no notion of a facility like this. And today, we'll cut the ribbon on a one-of-a-kind research complex where truly leading-edge research will take place focused on health span resilience and human performance.
So what is it exactly they're going to be doing in this new massive and amazing building?
This facility and the engineers and scientists that will inhabit it will permit IHMC to be one of the few research institutions able to work effectively at all levels, from a single molecule of interest to the whole human, and even with groups of humans and machines.
So a $40 million biomedical-based research complex, and it's going to be everything from down at the molecular level all the way up to teams and figuring out how to maximize human performance, right? Now, what I thought was interesting, now, all of that stuff was interesting, okay? And even Bill Dalton, the board chair, was talking some about the particulars of this new facility.
New building will house scientists that are going to do revolutionary work, new work, and this... What is about to happen here is frankly new. It's given the term health span, resilience, human performance insights. And as he said, you start with the molecule and you go to the human. And you study them and try to help them as they evolve. And I say try to help them because they're going to be studying those that are older. Their molecules, frankly, get changed a little bit. We have fewer of them. We need your help. And I'm going to tell you, as someone in that category, I would appreciate it if you would prioritize this.
So looking at everything from how cells reproduce, how molecules are, you know, at the molecular level, right, how that interacts with the body, how it changes over the course of your lifespan, how trauma can influence these things, like, they are... I don't even know. I mean, because every time I talk to IHMC people, they're always working on the most wild and interesting things, and the kind of stuff that they come up with is amazing. And so this whole center devoted to that kind of research, I can't even imagine some of the stuff that they're going to do. But there's another dimension to this, and to me, this story about yesterday is a cool story about IHMC and a cool story about innovation and research going on in Pensacola and how, you know, the work they do with the Department of Defense and DARPA and all, just all the stuff that they do, internationally known organization. And yet, why Pensacola? I think it's a very reasonable question that the average person might say, this sounds like the sort of thing that would be in like North Carolina, or it would be in, you know, LA, or it'd be in San Francisco, or, you know, why is this here? Well, it's here because this is obviously where they started, but also Ken Ford was emphatic that this is the kind of place that Pensacola is and is becoming the kind of place that organizations like his thrive in. And I'll explain that to you in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. We're accident-free right now on I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly. Just seeing some backups right now. If you're traveling on Tejar Drive in Fairfield, right there on Highway 29, you're seeing some major backups, both north and southbound. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thanks so much, John. If you're hungry this afternoon, you want to get a great lunch or an outstanding dinner, Pounder's Hawaiian Grill is open now on North Davis Highway in the old Diggy's Barbecue location right across from like Penny's and Academy Sports and University Mall in North Davis, just south of the expressway. And I just, personal endorsement, this is my family's favorite restaurant to go to. My boys, whenever, because they used to be in Crestview, and that was the only place you could get it. And we would even sometimes want to drive to Crestview to go to Pounder's. we typically did not, because, you know, an hour there, an hour back. But if we were coming home from vacation somewhere else in the state, or, you know, from like Airsoft and Laurel Hill or wherever we're coming back from, we would always, always stop at Pounder's and eat as much as we could and bring as much extra home as we could because it was so good. And I would always go in the back and tell them, hey, man, this stuff is fantastic. You guys did a great job. When are you coming to Pensacola? When are you coming to Pensacola? When are you coming? Like every time. Well, they finally came to Pensacola. So you can go eat there and enjoy it for yourself. Very reasonably priced teriyaki steak, teriyaki chicken, Kahlua pig. Those are my favorites. Also garlic chicken. They've got sides of the macaroni salad is amazing. Oh my God, I'm getting hungry thinking about it. The white rice is amazing. Anyway, you choose your portion size, choose your variety of meats, and then, you know, enjoy. They give Sunday and Monday their employees off, so you got to go Tuesday through Saturday, but they are open today, so stop by on North Davis Highway, Pounder's Hawaiian Grill. Back to this conversation at the opening of the new Center for Researching on Human Performance and Human Resilience, Healthspan Resilience at the IHMC, the new location that ribbon cut yesterday. Ken Ford was explaining why Pensacola.
This dynamic new research complex right in the heart of downtown Pensacola will enable continuous interactions and frequent collisions of people and ideas across many academic disciplines and at many local venues. We believe in place-based innovation, and IHMC is a great place to do innovative research. This will provide the underpinnings for our shared vision for Pensacola to continue to evolve is a habitat for innovation. And I actually find this quite exciting.
A habitat for innovation. It's such a great way to think about Pensacola because, you know, it used to be Pensacola was the place you grew up to escape. And it's kind of had that lingering perception with people for a long time that, you know, you want to, you know, grow up here, get your degree, go somewhere else and find a thing to do. What he's saying and what you've seen downtown and other, you know, other parts, the reason Pensacola is growing so much in part is because it's not that anymore. And it really is a great place to live, work, and play and for outstanding high-quality talent. But part of that is having places like IHMC where they can work, but also having places to live in close proximity to places where there's stuff to do, like the downtown area where you can go to coffee shops and go to great restaurants and great breweries and watch a baseball game and go to the opera. And like the Renaissance downtown is part of what makes it possible for an IHMC to recruit world-class talent to come here.
This dynamic new research complex right in the...
Oh, sorry, I played that one. But his idea of collisions between high-quality people, going to the bar after work that's like the cool, hip, like high-class bar across the street, which, you know, there are several of those. And even D.C. Reeves talked about this yesterday when he was talking about like Perfect Plane that he used to own and how all of this stuff working together is part of what's making Pensacola thrive so much right now.
Here you will continue to support vibrant exchanges among researchers, residents, and visitors at local establishments. I can speak firsthand that researchers love craft beer, and although that doesn't help me much anymore, I'll let the next speaker talk about the benefits of research and craft beer and their correlation.
Human performance.
This helps create a dynamic fabric of our community. IHMC's focus on promoting a Pensacola environment where our citizens can live, walk, work, and play is a fundamental cornerstone of our ongoing campaign for this community.
Yeah, and I've never heard him say that walk part before, the live, walk, work, and play. I don't know if that'll catch on exactly, but, you know, this push towards walkability in downtown, you know, I've always kind of thought of that with Civicon and all of the various development and beautification and all of this stuff, you know, density and Southtown being located downtown. And all, like, I've always kind of thought of all of that mostly as a way to, I don't know, solve traffic congestion or reduce emissions or I don't know. I never thought about it in the terms of creating a really cool place with density where the kind of people that will work in places like IHMC want to live and bring their families or start a family. But that's what's happening downtown. We're creating that kind of a place where people want to be and they want to be around, and we have businesses that'll come here. And so this is all, you know, placemaking. When the mayor talks about that, when we talk about amenities, when we talk about economic development, it's all of these things tied up together with, of course, the great beach and, you know, the Blue Angels and all the other things that are in appeal here. But you're talking about creating a place that people want to be and they'll want to come to.
Economic development, sensible growth, quality education, and promoting local arts and culture are near and dear to my heart. When done right, these combined factors serve as a recipe for transformational, enlightened community where all boats rise together.
As David Baer talking about as the chair of the Triumph Board. So, you know, again, I think this is great. And it's not just great in that it's IHMC, but it's great in that it's reflective of the kinds of changes taking place in Pensacola and a fit with them and a reinforcement of them. 7:21 here on News Radio Pensacola. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you're an employer and you've got benefits you got to provide for your employees, like health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resource management, payroll, all of that, of course, right? You got employees, you got stuff, okay? If you're happy with how that stuff gets managed right now, great. If you're not happy, or you might wonder if you can be happier, call Torgerson Causey. They're a comprehensive employee benefits agency working here in Pensacola for more than, my paper says, I think it's like 25 years they've been around. So it's quite some time working with local companies. I know for us, they've been working with us for like 7 years. And it's hard to remember back to when they weren't managing this stuff for us, but I remember, and it got a lot better when Torgerson Causey took over. Most notably, we had choices in our plans, and they were always able to answer good, detailed questions, the kind that my industrial engineer wife likes to ask. She is not easily impressed with insurance people, okay, generally speaking, or benefits people. She's very impressed with Torgerson Causey. She says they get her thumbs-up approval, and that is not easy to get from my wife. 433-9996 for Torgerson Causey. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing, or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
How do you handle stress, worry, or anxiety? If we're not careful, those times of anxiety can rip us apart from the inside. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus tells us how to deal with worry. And he doesn't say just forget about it or that it'll go away by itself, nor does he say that we should run from it. Instead, Jesus tells us to take it one day at a time. He points out the nonsense of worrying about things we cannot control. Jesus reminds us that God cares for the birds of the air, and he says to you that you are more important to him than many sparrows. God calls us to throw the whole weight of our anxieties on him and allow his spirit to fill our hearts with perfect peace as he handles the many things that are out of our control. I encourage you, rest in Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. That is this Friday at 9:30 with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Why is the radio making those weird noises?
No reason, son.
No. You would never understand.
7:25 on News Radio Pensacola. Oh, my God. The struggles were real.
They were.
Loading. Connecting. Loading.
You've got
connecting. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 looking good right now. Also, if you're rolling through Milton to Pace westbound, not seeing any accidents there. Everything is good to go. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're working on a home improvement project or thinking about it and trying to figure out how you're going to solve that honey-do list without just pretending it doesn't exist, go to Pensacola Hardware. They'll take care of you. Listen, they work with people who build houses for a living, okay? So at that end, and they can, you know, ship to your job site, put you on a monthly bill. You don't have to send, you know, Jimmy down with the credit card to pick stuff up. Like, all the things you want as a builder. And if you run into problems, they know how to solve them. They know how to, you know, they know the codes. They know the inspectors a lot of times, so they really know how to make sure you get stuff done right. But if you're just like me, you know, you're just a, every once in a while, you just have to fix something in the house, they can take care of you too. And it's not just that they'll sell you the hammer or, you know, the nails or any of that kind of stuff, but, and of course they have that, but they can really explain how to solve a problem. You know, like they have that institutional knowledge because they've been around since 1851. That's 173 years. That is amazing. The oldest business in the entire state, one of the oldest 50 in the entire country. They have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since before the Civil War. Right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Hold on a second. I got to get out of this AOL chat room on that. President Biden.
You want a couple of extra discs?
Yeah.
I've seen some in my day.
I could use some coasters. President Biden says he accepts the outcome of his son's federal firearms trial. Hunter Biden found guilty yesterday of violating laws prohibiting drug addicts from owning firearms. President Biden flew out to Wilmington, Delaware after that verdict came out yesterday. He was seen hugging his son on an airport tarmac. The Southern Baptist Convention is cutting ties with a Virginia church that supports female pastors. Delegates at the SBC's annual meeting approved the ouster of Alexandria's First Baptist Church yesterday. The Alexandria Church ordained a its first female pastor in 1980 and has ordained two other women since then. And Kevin Spacey says he's broke and his home is being foreclosed on. The Oscar-winning actor gave an hour-long interview to Piers Morgan yesterday and said he's not sure where he's going to live now. Spacey won most of the sexual misconduct lawsuits against him, but says he owes millions in legal fees.
Yeah, and of course, people aren't hiring him.
Right.
Look, I don't want to give cover to a guy who's clearly kind of a reprobate in real life, okay? But also one of the best actors there ever has been. Like, it's...
Yes.
And it's such this weird tension because on the one hand, you see these people who are artistic geniuses, whether it's in music or filmmaking or acting or, you know, even writing. And in regular life, they're just really not good people. I mean, really not good people. And so it's just, or at least, you know, allegedly, I guess. But, you know, you can have your suspicions even if you don't know what if you don't accept the outcome of the trials. And as a person who enjoys the art or the music or the whatever, I'm always conflicted. Bill Cosby.
Right.
The best comedian of the last 50 years, perhaps. And, 60 years, perhaps. But, you know, you can't give a guy cover for that kind of behavior in your private life, right? David, thanks so much for the update. 7:28 here on News Radio Pensacola. Oh, I saw this story yesterday, and this has got to be my favorite, just, you know, when you can't help but walking into the brick wall? By your own doing.
Right.
That's kind of what happened here. So, you know how they have these, books have been removed from school libraries because they're inappropriate for the kids.
Right.
Whether it's because they have explicit sexual content or because they have adult content of the non-explicit but still sexual nature that we don't want to expose to kids. So a book that was put out a year or two ago, I guess. I don't know. Maybe it's older than that. It's called Ban This Book. The book is called Ban This Book.
Okay.
And it's a fictional book about a girl, a fourth grader, who in a restricted books environment brings banned books to school and hides them in her library and loans them out to other people in the school, like to violate the law
right.
or to violate the restriction or whatever, which I think is actually a pretty clever premise for a book. I kind of want to read the book. I'm interested. Well, Indian River County School Board members voted to ban that book.
To ban
the book that is a book about book banning institutions. They disliked how it referenced other books that have been removed and that it was teaching rebellion of school board authority. The author of the book says this decision is incredibly ironic, and it is, because the way I remember it, America's kind of a rebellious country with freedom, and satire is and protest is kind of at the heart of who we are.
That's right.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Through the open southern border, eight suspected ISIS terrorists walked into the U.S. from Tajikistan, reportedly cleared Border Patrol vetting, only later picked up by the Joint Terror Task Force in L.A., New York, and Philly after their chatter was detected, now in ICE custody. President Biden flying off to the G7 summit in Italy after some time with his son Hunter, vowing to appeal Hunter's three felony gun convictions. This juror tells Fox politics was never a question. Primary results in Nevada. Purple Heart veteran Sam Brown wins the GOP Senate nomination.
It is tonight that we continue to deliver hope, that the American dream is not dead. The American dream is not dead, and the American nightmare under Joe Biden and Jackie Rosen begins to end tonight.
America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. It's 73 degrees and partly cloudy skies this morning. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson yesterday sharing some more information on that murder-suicide involving a husband and wife over the weekend.
We had responded to domestic disturbances with this family two times prior, once in 2015, once in 2022, and both were classified as verbal-only disputes, so there was no arrest made. The deceased are Katie Delmar, 42 years old, and Michael Delmar, 41 years old.
And Johnson held a news conference yesterday where he shared that information. He also says two children were taken to a Pensacola hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. It all happened on Sunday night at a home on Adrian Way in the Garson Point area. One woman was hurt, another behind bars after a fight in Escambia County over a Dunkin' Donuts cup. Sharika Crenshaw posted bond yesterday after being arrested on Monday. The incident happened about 2 weeks ago. Escambia County deputies say Crenshaw approached a woman, accused her of having a cup that belonged to her. Crenshaw then allegedly tried to take that cup and started beating the woman, who fell to the ground. Deputies say Crenshaw took the cup and drove away. The victim suffered swelling on her forehead and bleeding near her eye. 32-year-old Crenshaw now faces charges of second-degree robbery. Pensacola State College getting a big donation for its new Aviation Airframe Mechanics and Power Plant Mechanics program. Indyne CEO and President Don Bishop donating a $900,000 Fairchild Merlin IV aircraft.
And this is not a simple aircraft. It is one of the more complex aircrafts you can fly. And I think it's going to be a real significant change and the way the school is able to move forward.
And PSC says that aircraft is larger than most of those types of programs typically have at their disposal. The maintenance tech program was highlighted last week as PSC is partnering with ST Engineering to train a new generation of airplane mechanics, and they're hoping to start enrolling students in that program as soon as this fall. The wife of Santa Rosa Commissioner James Calkins is running for a seat on the Santa Rosa School Board. Maria Calkins has filed as a candidate for the District 2 seat. She'll be challenging Democratic incumbent Elizabeth Huey. And Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city will be doing a national search for a new city administrator. This coming after Kareth Fidler announced his resignation Monday night during the agenda conference.
Those are his details to share and whatever he's comfortable with sharing. But I'm very appreciative for everything that Kareth has done here. You know, having a steady hand that has been in the previous administration and this administration, I'll always be grateful for.
And Fidler cited some family reasons for that departure. His last day with the city will be July 5th, when former city administrator Keith Wilkins retired in 2021. Fidler was promoted into that job by then-mayor Grover Robinson. It is 7:35 now at News Radio Pensacola, and John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
I-10, I-110 flowing smoothly right now, but if you're headed from Pace to Pensacola on Highway 90, that construction zone is there, and we're experiencing some slowdowns. Also, watch your speed through that area. Other than that, everything else is looking good. That's a look at your traffic on the fives. I'm John Pickens.
Thank you very much, John. Now, Brooke Richardson has a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies. Just a 10% chance of a stray shower, high near 92. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 75. For Thursday, 30% chance of a stray shower or thunderstorm, high near 92. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Keeping the weather nice and calm for our Friday with just a 30% chance of some pop-up showers and a high near 92 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got cloudy skies right now. It is 73 in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, 71 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Elon Musk has withdrawn his lawsuit against OpenAI and two of the company's co-founders, Sam Altman and Greg Brockman, in California state court. Musk's decision to dismiss the suit came just one day after he publicly criticized OpenAI and its new partnership with Apple. Musk had filed a lawsuit against OpenAI, Altman, and Brockman for breach of contract in February. WeWork, the shared office space company once valued at $47 billion, has emerged from bankruptcy and named Cushman and Wakefield executive John Santora as its new CEO. WeWork filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in November. The COVID-19 pandemic, which led to a surge in vacancies, coupled with an economic slump and steep downturn in tech valuations, contributed to WeWork's troubles. Futures are slightly higher. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 120, the NASDAQ up 151. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Mentioned yesterday, the long line that we had yesterday was not, we had full staffing in place. It was that we had two machines down, and then we got a third machine up, and then by 7:30 a.m. we had no line. So You know, it's unfortunate. And, you know, of course, from this position, I wish we took a photo every morning, you know, because the next 31 mornings when we have no line, you know, we won't take a photo of that. We'll just take a photo of the line, which is part of the gig.
So this is Mayor D.C. Reeves yesterday in the press conference, I think referring to me, which is fine, perfectly fine, because we had posted that photo that was sent to me by a listener of the long line at the airport for TSA the other day, and that kind of blew up on social media and had a lot of comments about that. I talked with him and Matt Coughlin about, you know, what was going on, and, you know, I think there's a large combination of factors, frankly, going on. But, of course, it comes at a time where people are already frustrated about the lines at the airport, and they're working on that stuff. But let me kind of answer the question that D.C. Reeves was posing yesterday. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And so my answer is I totally agree with you. One picture does not show a whole story. The pictures of every day and how a half hour later it was cleared up. I completely agree with you. My industry makes the mistake of showing you the exception instead of showing you the general truth. And I think it's a completely fair criticism. So I'll take it.
Well, you know, as back in the day, it used to be my industry too. And so
right.
I understand that. And of course, in no way is it rationalized. I think we're showing, you know, I think that it was time to take a stand because it was becoming such that what the photo you showed was becoming too consistent of an issue.
Yeah.
In previous months. But what I will say is since we've sent that letter, I believe the maximum wait yesterday was 51 minutes. If you've analyzed, which they do with TSA, every single hour since basically the end of April, the longest wait, including during Memorial Day weekend and even more of a peak season than spring, was about 23 or 25 minutes. So it's, you know, that's kind of the point I'm making, is to say, hey, you know, we've made significant strides. But of course, and what do, you know, citizens and social media do? Here's the one example.
That's right.
You know, the one out of hundreds of hours since we've gotten things corrected that didn't go the way it planned. But that's why I said, hey, it's part of the gig. You know, I get it. Whether it's parking, whether it's this, whether it's something like that, it's things that cause people anxiety, and I understand. You know, we all want it to be perfect all the time, and nobody more than me and Matt at the airport, I can guarantee.
And, you know, I know it doesn't make people necessarily feel better, but one of the things that I had minor epiphany about, I was thinking about this, is as long as you don't miss your flight, then waiting at TSA
right.
is a nuisance, not a problem. Now, you even mentioned that you have missed flights or people have missed flights, and so that is a real problem. But I think of it in the same context as, like, flooding in your home. If the flooding gets into your lawn, you know, and on your driveway, that's a nuisance. That's inconvenient. When the flooding gets into your
house, right.
it's a real problem. And, I mean, if you have to wait an extra 20 minutes at the TSA line, you're fuming and you're angry. But if you think about it, you're either going to wait there or wait for the plane. It doesn't really make
right.
that big of a difference, right? But if you miss the flight,
exactly.
then it does make a
yeah.
big difference. How often does that happen?
Yeah, and again, I mean, TSA is required. So this isn't, you know, DC's guess or the airport's guess is required to measure how long these. And so just for example, remember from my letter, we were on the wait list four times in the first, whatever that was, 3.5 months of the year, on a much slower part of the year mm-hmm. Than right now. And since we sent that letter, we've been on once, which was yesterday for that hour. So, so we're making good strides. They continue to be, TSA continues to be proactive. So what I would tell you is if you were to analyze the hour by hour wait, which again, at worst has been in the 25 minute range. And if you're following TSA guidelines and you're there 2 hours early, and I know some of us aren't, I admit I'm not always there 2 hours early. But if you are, even 51 minutes yesterday would have been a non-issue. So to your point, you know, and so when you get over an hour where we'd had that before in previous iterations a couple times, obviously now you're starting to talk about having the expectation to catch a flight and not being able to do it because the line was too long. So,
right.
So again, bottom line is we're making progress on it. You know, obviously we had a difficult day yesterday with two machines going down. And, you know, actually, as a matter of fact, we even learned this morning to show you how finicky these things are that may not have anything to do with the mayor or the airport is I think we had a machine go down temporarily this morning because a crew member spilled coffee in the machine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, those are the challenges of which we deal with every day, and that's why I appreciate our airport staff doing the best job that they can.
Yeah, and when you get an error code on the machine, I was talking to Matt Coughlin about this, the airport director, when you get an error code on the machine, I mean, you got to go through a whole series of steps and checks and make sure the machine's working right, because you can't just use it when it's not right. And then if you got to have repair people come and take care of it or reboot or whatever, I mean, there's processes. And so if you get unlucky, even if you've got the personnel, like you had the personnel on Monday, but then the machines are suddenly weird. Oh, great.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I wanted to answer your kind of prod about the, you know, the whole truth rather than just some of the truth. And also that whole perspective shift that I had a little bit about, you know, it's only a nuisance if you still make the plane. It's just stress and nobody likes that. Yesterday, sure. Big positive day for Pensacola, the ribbon cutting for the new IHMC facility. We've been talking about that. I was making the point that I think this is an indicator of the overall improvement and renaissance of downtown Pensacola, that it is now becoming, for many years now, it has been becoming, but it really is a place that people want to, you know, live, work, and play. You added walk into that yesterday. I caught that. I thought that was cute. But I did get a challenge from a listener on this subject. The person texted me the following, and I want to hear what you have to say about this. With the coffee shops and the bars and the restaurants and the culture and the nightlife and the baseball, I mean, there's a lot of stuff downtown. But this person says, the problem with Pensacola right now is haven't pursued an urban grocery store like a Walmart or a Whole Foods to be located downtown. Other communities tend to have this. We also don't have the consistent high-end shopping like Macy's, Nordstrom, which will appeal to the higher income, you know, like revamping the mall. It says even Birmingham has better retail. Ask him why the city, ask the mayor why the city has not tried to get a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's or even an IKEA. Cities that do this kind of stuff attract more money, tax money, and better. You know, IKEA might be a little out of our size range, but you get the gist of the question. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'll do this quickly for radio form. But ultimately, don't presume that we aren't, is what I would say, first of all. Just because we're having those conversations doesn't mean I come to the press conference and talk about them, because I don't want to get hopes up, and there's a lot of variable factors. Here's the great news.
Can I interrupt you? I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, from Florida West, a lot of times we get the, here's what could happen, and then, you know, one out of 40 deals pans out. I kind of like that, actually, that you don't come through with the, hey, we're working on something, and so we don't get our hopes. And go ahead, though. Finish your answer.
Other than my first April Fool's joke my first year, you're never going to hear me talk about Trader Joe's unless I really feel like it's coming here.
That's, I gotcha,
my point. So, let's talk about, chains in a general sense, whether that's a Warby Parker like Sunglass Store or a Trader Joe's, or what you start to see in Charleston and Savannah and these other, that's what I'm kind of encapsulating that is being referred to here. Number one, don't assume that we aren't having, or others, I mean, third parties, private, you know, commercial real estate owners aren't having those conversations, because we know that they are. I cannot not speak to certain brands, but I can say that there's been a change in the last 12 months or so where we start to be on allowed lists, right? I mean, you have to meet certain metrics. I mean, Whole Foods doesn't just pick a place because the mayor met with them. They're going to run numbers the same way Delta runs numbers at our airport. I mean, it's a numbers game. Well, now we're starting to actually get into the threshold where they would consider us, where that wasn't the case necessarily a couple of years ago. So to answer that question, yeah, of course. I mean, we are as proactive as possible. It's something me and Erica and our economic development department are working on. We've had several conversations about that. And, you know, and it's also different areas of town. I mean, listen, you know, the Beulah area up in the Davis I-10 area, depending on what kind of chain it is, that might be more desirable than downtown.
Sure.
And then a different chain would be much more desirable downtown than out there. So there's lots of different factors at play. But what I can safely generalize is that we are now on lists that we used to not be on.
Wow.
You know, and that
okay.
conversations about larger, but really what it's going to take, it's going to take the first one of those kind of national brands that's being mentioned to kind of take that chance, you know, downtown. Because once that happens, and you see it in every city and the evolution of every downtown, then the others are saying, oh, well, if they made it, we can make it, you know. So, you know, that's what we're really trying to be proactive about, is getting that, whether it's a grocery store, whether it's just national retail,
right.
You know, you know, kind of see what that looks like. So,
okay, well, that's so a very encouraging
answer.
It's
not our job to pick those out, but, yeah, we want to get – it's our job to try to, you know, have the red phone and make sure that you know, that we're an investable city. So we continue to have those conversations.
The red phone. I like that. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola. We're a little late. I apologize to John Pickens at Traffic on the Fives.
That's right. See, and if you're on Highway 29, just south, just near the Walmart, between the Walmart and the I-10, we've got very, very slow traffic there. Thanks for the tip on that one. Also, Highway 90 heading into Pensacola through that construction zone on the bridge, still seeing some issues. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Five.
Thanks so much, John. I just got a text in. We're talking to D.C. Reeves. I just got a text in. Somebody asks, any update on the possibility of a post office deal working out downtown? I assume that, following your previous comment, if you had news to tell, you'd tell it.
Yes, there's no new news. However, I'm in the same position my last update, which is that I've had a conversation with them and that there is a downtown alternate location that is in progress right now. That's
okay.
What I can say.
Okay.
I can't, but what I'm saying is the dream of continuing to have a downtown post office alive? Yes, at this point.
Okay. I also had a text in a little earlier, and it just because this is the stuff people really care about. I thought the lights were on. I guess the lights on the bridge have been maybe not on every night. Maybe you know, and do you know any whys?
No, again, it was back to testing, to be honest. When
okay.
It turned, that's why right after when we talked last time,
yeah.
He had said, it might be on, might be off. But I know their goal was to get before the week of the 4th of July.
Okay.
I know that was what they were kind of shooting for. So we may not see consistency until then,
gotcha.
But I know we're making progress.
Kareth Fidler suddenly is no longer the city administrator. Mentioned family stuff. This surprised me. Was there a problem? Is it just his personal? You tell me. What's going on?
Yeah, no, I mean, he reached out to me late last week, and again, obviously, I'm not going to get into his, what's going on.
Sure.
That's his story to tell or his news to share or not share. That's, and we don't get into personnel stuff anyway. But regardless, I'm very appreciative of having Kareth there. Family comes first for all of us, and it should. It comes first for me. It comes first for Kareth. And so, at the end of the day, I appreciate having him here 5 years with the city, which is a long time, honestly, within the city administration level at one place. Having him in that position while I was getting acclimated and his familiarity and, the respect that he had with department directors was very, very valuable for me. So I'll always be grateful for that. So I certainly wish him the best and his family the best. And we support him well after his, last day in July.
And you're going to do a national search is what you said?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. We will do a national search. We're obviously just starting that process now and getting job description and all that kind of stuff. And so we'll be very intentional and proactive because obviously it's such a, one of the most vital positions at the city, if not the most.
Yeah, and the kind of position that, if you don't really know who Kareth Fidler is, it means he's probably doing his job right.
right.
You notice when the sound and the lights are wrong because they're not doing their job right, and if you don't notice, they're probably doing their job just right. Any consideration given to, Amy has been around and knows all kinds of stuff, but that's not a track that you're expecting or planning on necessarily. I mean, I'm sure she's welcome to apply, but
Amy does a great job for us. We got a lot of, there might be others that internally that could apply and would certainly be qualified to do so. Too early to say on that, but I will say this job being so vital, this being the first time I have made this hire. Certainly I want to understand, what's out there. And I think it takes a level of self-awareness. It's me analyzing myself. What are my strengths and what are my weaknesses? This is really a very much a yin yang kind of relationship with the city administrator. I want to make sure that as we sit down and take a breath and say, how are we going to move forward? That this person, he or she would be able to, accentuate and help me in places where maybe I'm not as strong and then vice
sure.
versa. So we're even doing a little self-analysis, about what do we want to see out of the next, what skill set, what experience do we want to see from the next person?
And by the way, I did the thing that I always used to make fun of Grover for doing. I said Amy, but I meant Amy Miller, the assistant city administrator. So, I didn't give everybody the context
Amy.
Of who we're talking about here. We always
have 50 Amy's.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Our office, so yeah, that's a safe guess.
Amy LaVoy, Amy Tootle. Yeah, no.
Amy.
Yeah. We didn't even get a chance to really talk about the low barrier shelter, but the 10-second answer on this is you got the information you wanted to get, you know what the reasonable price and the reasonable ongoing cost is going to be, and now it's a question of actually finding the money and the commitment and sourcing it and talking to the people who are going to put in, because it's not as easy as, well, let's just build one. Is that fair?
That's correct. We have $1.3 million of static money, one-time money, and what we've just been told is 60 beds would be about $2 million a year. So this is not going to be solved by just the static money. It's going to be a greater community conversation.
And sure. That's not even, as you said yesterday, not even counting the capital cost of acquiring or constructing a facility. That's correct. Just operation. Very good. Well, I always like to end with the lightning round. Fun topics, our frivolous topics typically. Do you have a favorite game show growing up?
Ooh. You know, I liked Press Your Luck.
Oh, no whammies. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Is there something you had in high school, which, you know, was not that long ago for you, but is there something you had in high school that you no longer have that you miss, that you wish you had?
I actually loved the Nextel walkie-talkie aspect. I actually think maybe there'd be like a renaissance for that.
The bloop bloop?
Yeah.
The bloop bloop.
I mean, that was hot when I was in high school. You know, that was, if you had that capability.
That was the good
now
stuff.
Now, you couldn't text or anything, you know, or take photos, but you could... I don't know, man. I'd like to have that back. It'd be kind of fun.
I've often wondered, you have a beeper now on your phone, essentially, but there was something nice about the beeper in the sense that, you know, you couldn't have to get back right away and all that. You know, some of those old technologies actually had value in a way of separating us. And the last one for the day, what is your way of cooking corn on the cob, if you do, and what's your way of eating corn on the cob, typewriter style or rotating rings that go down the cob?
I prefer to grill it. I mean, you know, boiling sometimes for necessity, but I'm a religious typewriter corn on the cob eater. It's got to be in order, structured. Yep, exactly. The same way I spread peanut butter across the entire piece of bread.
Gotcha.
Corn is no exception.
Very good. There's people who eat corn on the cob typewriter style, and then there's agents of chaos. I mean, that's all there is. There's two kinds of people in the world. So
I'm generally concerned at a picnic if I see someone just biting all over the entire cob.
We actually did this the other day, and we got a couple of people who suggested that they eat it in splotches just for random effect. And I'm like, I can't even. That Matt's giving me the shudders to think about. DC.
I was gonna say, I'm uncomfortable right now. You just described that. I don't know why.
DC Reeves, Mayor of Pensacola. So we look forward to city council meeting tomorrow night. As always, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
7:56 News Radio Pensacola. John Pickens got traffic on the fives.
Traffic is flowing smoothly right now on I-10, I-110. Nothing to worry about there. Also, just seeing some delays. If you're headed from Pace to Milton, you're going to experience some delays in that southbound route as you get to Pensacola on the bridge. Other than that, everything's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. We have a team of experienced broadcast experts who are dedicated to keeping you informed about the latest weather conditions and forecasts. We'll provide you with up-to-the-minute updates on any developing storms, as well as safety tips and information on how to prepare for a hurricane. So for the latest hurricane coverage, stay tuned to News Radio Pensacola on AM 1620, 92.3, 95.3, and on HD Radio at 98.7. We'll keep you safe. News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. informative, local, dependable.
Be very, very quiet. I'm hunting wabbits.
Oh, somebody texted in and had an interesting point. Says, keep in mind that when it comes to retailers and demographics, you put the point of the compass down in the middle of downtown Pensacola and draw your circle 3 miles, 1 mile, whatever. Half of that is in the water, which means much lower opportunity to have the kind of population base that they are looking for. Stupid waterfront. no, I mean, I'd never thought about it that way. David Wayne, you got a quick headlines for us?
The White House is proposing new regulations that would stop medical debt from showing up on credit reports. Vice President Harris yesterday said that would remove up to $49 billion in medical debt from 15 million credit reports.